All right, welcome back to the Guy Gordon Show. You know, Michigan's greatest natural resource, no surprise, it's our water, it's our Great Lakes. But, you know, for other parts of the country, it is an increasingly scarce commodity. And no better example than what we're seeing out west. WJR Senior News Analyst Marie Osborne taking a look at a heated dispute taking place in Colorado and why it may even be important to us. Good afternoon, Marie.
And good afternoon, guys. The Colorado River is literally a lifeline. It provides water and electricity to more than 40 million people in the West. And now it's at the center of difficult negotiations between seven states that rely on the ever-shrinking river. The states involved are California, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. Last year, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation Commissioner Camille Touton asked the seven states to figure out a way to cut 2 to 4 million acre feet of usage. That's about 30% of the river water allocation. Huge cut. Now, if the states don't play nice and do it themselves, Uncle Sam will step in and do it for them. So this week, six states released a plan for how much Colorado water they could potentially cut to avoid the nation's largest reservoirs. That includes Lake Mead and Power from hitting a dead flow. And dead flow, by the way, is the water level would be too low to flow through the dams. The maximum amount of basin-wide cuts the six states are proposing in their model is 3.1 million acre per feet per year. But you might have noticed California, the largest user of the Colorado River water, is absent from that model. The state says it will release its own model, calling for a more modest cut of about a million acre feet this week. California and Arizona, by the way, have long been at odds over this river system. There's been a lot of bickering back and forth. So where is this all headed? Some believe it could be decided at the Supreme Court, especially if the feds step in and make any cuts. At issue has who has the senior water right to the Colorado River. That involves powerful water districts, farmers, and state rights. What does this all mean to us? The obvious thing. As these important water resources dry up elsewhere in the country, a lot of people are wondering, how long will it be before the Great Lakes could be tapped for water, Matthew and Chris?
Don't look over here. Don't bother us for our water. Not over here. You know, it's interesting. You talked about the dead water. When the water level gets too low, places like Lake Powell, Lake Mead, those are really important factors here. But I find it interesting that everybody can seem to find common ground. All of these states can get on board. They understand the necessity of maybe needing to cut some of this water usage as you know, reasonably possible. But California is the only state that isn't playing ball here. And I think that's pretty indicative, again, as we've seen populations rise over the years and the people that utilize this water and need it and rely on it.
Yeah, but there's one more thing to keep in mind about California, and I agree with you about certainly the population, but one more important thing is they produce a lot of our produce in this country. I mean, huge amounts of obviously our lettuce and celery, and so much produce comes from those areas. They need water to grow that, so that could also be something else that's motivating this idea that they want their own compact on how they're going to work out this plan.
That's a good point, Marie. I mean, they feel really shut out of this. This is a long-standing legal dispute ever since 1922 when there was a Colorado compact. All these states got together and they divided up the water and figured out who got what share. Well, since that time, look what has happened in California. All of those orchard, the oranges and lemons. Las Vegas didn't even exist at that time. So there now people are saying, well, it's uneven, and we're not afraid to litigate this. And so we could see lawsuits, and we've seen dozens of them in the past. We could see these in the future.
Absolutely. I happen to actually know someone who years ago bought an avocado farm in Southern California and ended up having to let it go. They still lived on the land. They just couldn't continue to feed and water the plants because it was so expensive and it was so difficult to get water. They were not alone. You're looking at almonds are also another crop that requires a lot of water. And what is on the rise right now, the use of almonds for other things like almond milk. It's huge in production. So these questions are really much deeper than what we're looking at on the surface here.
No doubt. The decades and decades long dispute continues on the banks of the Colorado River. Thanks for taking a peek into this, Marie.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Chris.
It's a very interesting story because you were telling me you've looked at some of these court documents about this case. And this is a situation where the Colorado River impacts so many people, whether it's farmers, different cities along the river. But the landscape has changed over the years.
Oh, it certainly has.
I mean, the population has ballooned way more than it seems the river can supply.
And that's exactly the premises of these legal discussions. You know, ever since 1922, when this Colorado Compact came into place, there have been lawsuits, Arizona versus Colorado. This has happened 10 times in the U.S. Supreme Court over the last 100 years. They're constantly arguing about the division of how much water does each state get.
Mm-hmm.
And as things change, as populations change, as farming changes, now you're seeing California, they're doing the same thing. They're saying, wait a second, things are different for us, and we might be litigating this case. And the Colorado Attorney General has already said, we're not afraid to litigate. We're happy to litigate
sure.
and fight this.
Again, from the 5,000-foot view that we have, the frustrating thing is everybody's on board. All of these states are on board, but the outlier is California.
Correct.
And again, understanding the things are different. But everybody seems to be willing to play ball. Everybody seems to be willing to make concessions that they don't want to make.
Right.
But they feel they have to do it for the betterment of these communities. But no, not California.
Right. They're not budging. And they're even, you know, lawsuits are often the last resort. Like, who wants to sue?
Anymore, I feel like they're all over the place.
Right. But it's... if you can't just resolve your differences, how you have all of these states coming to the table and California is saying we're not coming to
for
the
a
table.
Century they can't
right
they've with these disagreements
right so by under the US Constitution anytime one state sues another state, it's automatically in the US Supreme Court. So you jump all the trial courts, mm-hmm. you jump the Court of Appeals, goes right to the Supreme Court. I think it's very possible that we could see this happen, and California is the main party involved, maybe suing all these other states.
So then what's the outcome here? I mean, there's one river, and everybody's impacted here. I mean, what's the outcome here?
Well, we know in Michigan what we don't want the outcome
to be. Don't say it.
I'm telling you, I've heard this before. When I worked in the state attorney general's office, there was discussion about people wanting to take our water out of the Great Lakes.
Out there?
Yes. How to harness that, pipeline it out, get that out to Colorado.
And what did you tell them?
Hey, this is Lake Michigan. This is not Lake California.
Gotta take a break.